So I'm no longer a slave to fear is one of my favorite contemporary songs. It doesn't just say I am no longer a slave to fear, but it also says I am a child of God, which then means us being children of God should take most of our fears. There should be kind of a freedom we have or we receive from being children of God. And when I come to think about it, is that true? And I think it isn't true. We still have so many fears. You can't have fears when you are in South Africa. And so we still have got so many fears, and I wonder what that says about us being children of God. The passage I'm going to read today, it is about disciples were walking to Emmaus and they were slaves to fear. Let me read. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. The walk to Emmaus. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began to walk with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some woman from our group of his followers were at the tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, 'Stay the night with us, since it is getting late.' So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, 'The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter.'" They say best conversations happen on walks. When I walk with my friend, when I walk with my siblings, when I walk with my brother, even when I walk with you, that is where best conversations happen. The fresh air that comes before us as we walk towards a particular destination, a light exercise through walking, the lack of eye contact, because when we walk, we don't look at each other. We just continue with the conversations. All that they bring about good conversations. What we see in this Luke's resurrection story are the disciples who are trying to leave the holy city, the center of the Jewish universe, only to be taken back to the holy city. Because of what had happened during the weekend, they are trying to leave the holy city, but circumstances push them to go back to the holy city. I want to think that these two disciples are probably using their walk to process the emotions and the traumatic experience of the weekend. I sometimes see most of you walking either Milner's Avenue or down Bersnode, or you like walking to the park. And I always wonder, are those people enjoying walking, or they're just doing it so that they unwind and they're trying to forget about their own problems? And so these guys, probably the reason for walking to Emmaus is so that they can process all the traumatic experiences of the weekend. And in that walk, they had a conversation. Very often, when it matters the most, we find ourselves speaking of the matters of hope and faith in the imperfect sense. And we say, we had hoped. When it comes to matters of faith and hope, we say things in the imperfect sense. We had hope. But one can imagine how these disciples longed to hear the voice of Jesus. They had hoped that he would be their Messiah. Remember the question they have in Acts chapter 1? Are you now going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? And Jesus says, it is not for you to know the time when God is going to do God's things. And so they long to hear the voice of God as they walk to Emmaus. But while they were still having a conversation, a stranger joined them. They saw a stranger. And how did this happen? While they reasoned together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. This is one, if not the first, fulfillment of the comforting promise, where two or three gather in my name, there I will be in their midst. Whether what they were talking about Jesus was positive or negative, but when two or three gather in my name, agree in my name, I will be in their midst. And while they walked to Emmaus, Jesus joined them. He walked with God's people. And so when we walk, there's even a traditional song, when we walk with the Lord, when we walk in our walks, God always sees an opportunity to join us. Whether it's a walk to death, a walk to work, a walk to success, God always joins God's people. And through Jesus, God did that. These disciples did one thing right. When Jesus drew nearer, they brought their experiences to Jesus. Because here's the thing about us. When Jesus joins us, some of us don't even notice that we have been joined by Jesus, and this is an opportunity to bring our experiences to Jesus. The person they had hoped will be their Messiah is joining them as the Messiah, and they take an experience. They take the time to bring their experiences. I don't want to ask, where are you walking to? Where are you walking towards? Who are you walking towards? How far are you with your walk? Are you even still walking? If you have reached your destination, thanks be to God. Amen. But if you are still walking, take time to notice Jesus walking with you. And when you have noticed, Bring your experiences to Jesus. And the disciples, they did that. Disciples walk to Emmaus. They are joined by Jesus. And Jesus joining the disappointed disciples, it shows that God do want us to share our stories. God is available to listen to our stories. It shows that God is available to meet us where we are. Wherever I am in my journey, wherever you are in your journey, even if you have reached the dead end, the dead end itself is part of the journey. And God wants to meet me where I am. God wants to meet you where you are. And we see that when the disciples meet Jesus. It is Revelation chapter 3 verse 21. I will come in and eat with that person. And so as we walk, God joins us in our walk. But it is then up to you and me to hear the knock. Open the door. Allow God to walk with me. Eat with me. Sit down with me. And the disciples allowed that to happen. And as they walked, traditional hospitality ethic prevailed. And Jesus joined them for a meal. The Jesus who had last seen and spent time with disciples when they had the meal in the upper room does the same when he reveals, when he appears to his disciples, he joins them for a meal. Christ was with them. Christ is with us too. They also say one of the best ways of getting to know a person is over a meal. I know the families who, when it's meal times, either breakfast, lunch, more especially when it's supper, there's so many great news that come out of that meal. Gossiping comes when we are having a meal. Many stories, they are shared during times of eating. And so sharing a meal, eating together, is one of the best ways of getting to know a person. And because Jesus wants to know us, he shared a meal with his disciples. Theologians suggest that for Jesus to take bread, it showed that he was not only divine, but he was human also. He is part of God's creation. And it is when Jesus broke that bread at Emmaus that disciples recognized who Jesus is. The Jesus who had broken bread with the loved ones before his crucifixion chooses to break bread with them again. Because when people allow Jesus to walk with them on their walk to Emmaus, Jesus comes in, sits down with them, shares a meal with them. Where in your area have you not allowed Jesus to walk with you? Or where in the area of your life do you need Jesus to walk with you? Let me say, his availability is confirmed. His presence in our lives and for our lives is confirmed. God has got the way of reminding us about his goodness. He not only walks with us when darkness surrounds us, but he brings light. He does not only walk with us when darkness surrounds us, but he brings light. In other things, God does new things. And through the resurrection of Jesus, we see the new things God did. Jesus' last meal before his death was a sorrowful one. But this one at Emmaus, it a joyful one. It opened the eyes of the disciples. And then they say to each other, why didn't our heart burn when he revealed scriptures to us? But now Jesus sitting down having a meal with his disciples, it gave them joy. One of my favorite hymns is, Oh, for a thousand times to sing my great Redeemer's praise. It's one of my favorite hymns, hymn number one. And one of its verses say, Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that beat our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in my ears. It is life and health and peace. And that is what disciples needed, life and health and peace. And that is what the resurrection of Jesus is and brings to us, life and health and peace. That is what God, who walks with God's people, bring to us when we are in the wilderness, life and health and peace. And when they allow Jesus to sit down with them, Jesus broke bread with them and for them, their eyes were opened. Here Jesus did what the psalmist says in chapter 116. My God has pulled me back from dark depths and saved me countless times. And on their walk to Emmaus, they were pulled back from deep miry clays of life. Jesus saved them. Because God's life is always breaking out when we see it or not. God's life always breaks out when we see it or not. Reflect on this. Jesus' disciples were hoping that Jesus will bring liberation for Israel. And they say, we had hoped. What are your hopes for yourself? For your family, for your relationship, for your marriage, for your education, for your profession, for this country, for this world, for your life, for your health, for your finances. If there's something I have not mentioned, what are your hopes for that which is in your mind right now? And how can you and me work and walk with Jesus in bringing new life to our own dead situations? As you leave this place, reflect on this. The disciples had hoped that Jesus will bring liberation for Israel. What are your hopes? What hopes do you have? When is the time when you say, I had hoped? Bring that back and see a new possibility of that which you think is lost forever. Think about it. See it happening again.